Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most.
This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive.
You know, if you constantly feel like your brain is just running a marathon, like relentless worry, that mental fogginess, maybe you just can't settle down or feel chronically stuck.
Yeah.
It's that feeling of having a busy brain, and it's exhausting, and often it feels like some kind of deep personal failing, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, that specific feeling of failure, that's exactly what we want to, well, dismantle in this deep dive. Yeah. We're looking at Dr. Joseph A. Annibale's really quite groundbreaking book, Reclaim Your Brain.
Okay.
Our mission here is to explore his powerful and I think quite compassionate thesis, mm-hmm. which is your busy brain. It's probably not a character flaw. It's not a lack of willpower. Mm. It's very likely a treatable, measurable medical condition rooted in actual physical brain function. Mm. I really like that framing, that shift in perspective. It takes the conversation away from, you know, shame and guilt and points towards solutions.
Exactly.
So we're going to unpack how cutting-edge neuroscience is showing that you are absolutely not stuck with the brain wiring you have right now. Let's dive into the evidence behind that hope.
Okay, so the foundation for all this comes from Dr. Joseph A. Annibale. He's a distinguished psychiatrist and actually the chief psychiatrist at the Amen Clinics in Reston, Virginia, which are pretty well known.
They are, and that background is really significant here because the Amen Clinics, they're globally recognized for integrating functional neuroimaging brain scans right into psychiatric practice.
Right.
So Dr. Annibale isn't just, say, a therapist or someone prescribing meds. He's a clinician who specializes in using these brain pictures, specifically SPECT scans. Mm. And crucially, he's correlated thousands of these visual patterns of brain activity with real patient stories, their struggles, and importantly, their recoveries.
Okay, so his authority isn't just based on theory then. It's grounded in objective visual data from the brain itself. Precisely.
He's basically translating this super complex neurobiology into advice that's, well, tangible, actionable.
Yeah, actionable is the word. It shifts mental health treatment away from just managing symptoms, which can feel abstract, towards actually healing the physical brain based on evidence. It's a fundamentally different way of looking at care.
Okay, let's turn to the core problem Dr. Annibale identifies, this busy brain. He characterizes it with symptoms we probably all recognize, right? Like that unrelenting anxiety, going over and over things in your head.
Rumination, yeah.
Obsessive thoughts, maybe debilitating mental fog. He argues these aren't really the cause of the suffering. They're just the symptoms of something deeper, an underlying brain dysfunction that's often, well, invisible.
And what's really fascinating here is his investigative approach. You know, if you have stomach problems, a good doctor runs tests, right? They look for the root cause.
Sure.
Dr. Annibale says we absolutely must do the same for the brain. The core insight is actually quite straightforward when you think about it. Mm. Mental health is brain health, period. So once we understand the neurobiology, like the where and the how of the dysfunction, then we can personalize treatment, target it properly, instead of just, you know, throwing generalized medication at symptoms and hoping something sticks.
So the key roadmap he uses for this investigation is the SPECT-T. Now, I know SPECT-T stands for single photon emission computed tomography, which sounds incredibly complicated.
It does sound intense, yeah.
But practically speaking, what does this picture actually show us? How is it different from, say, a regular MRI scan?
That's a really critical distinction. An MRI shows you the brain's structure. Like, is there a tumor? Is there obvious physical damage? A SPECT scan, though, maps function.
Function, meaning activity.
Exactly. It literally measures blood flow and metabolic activity. Think of it like creating a traffic map for your brain's highways. It reveals exactly which circuits are jammed up overactive or which ones are practically deserted underactive.
Ah, okay. So the scan takes that common dismissal, you know, it's all in your head.
Yeah.
It actually provides physical proof, objective visual evidence that validates what the patient is feeling.
Precisely. It says, no, look, here's the physical pattern corresponding to your suffering. And once you have this kind of traffic map, Dr. Annibale guides us through the typical bottlenecks that cause that busy brain feeling. Let's look at maybe three major players he identifies and the symptoms they cause.
Okay, sounds good. First up is the anterior cingulate gyrus, or ATG. He has this brilliant nickname for it.
The brain's gear shifter.
Yes, the gear shifter. So when the ACG is working properly, you can smoothly shift from one thought or task to the next. But if it's overactive,
You get stuck. Yeah.
It shows up as obsessive thoughts, those worry loops you can't break, rumination, just inability to let things go.
Yeah.
We've all had that moment, right? 3 a.m. and your brain latches on to some tiny embarrassing thing from years ago.
Oh, yeah. The ACG just won't disengage. This explains why that feels so physical, so hard to stop.
Okay, what's next?
Then there's that deep, heavy feeling, constant dread, maybe pervasive physical anxiety. That's often driven by the basal ganglia. These are deep structures involved in motor control, yes, but they also house key anxiety and fear circuits. So overactivity here doesn't just lead to incessant worry. It can manifest as physical anxiety symptoms, tight chest, racing heart, even panic attacks.
Right. Okay. And then there's the cognitive side. That's driven by the prefrontal cortex, PFC.
Exactly. The PFC. Think of it as the CEO of your brain. It's responsible for planning, impulse control, focus, judgment, all that high-level stuff.
Okay.
Now, when the PFC is underactive, that's when you often see issues like classic ADD symptoms, poor time management, impulsivity, real problems with focus.
So it's validation, really. That struggle with being stuck or constantly worried or unable to focus, it's tied directly to an observable physical pattern of brain activity.
Right. Precisely. And this is where the deep dive really pays off, because the SPECT roadmap doesn't just show these patterns. It points towards hidden, often non-psychiatric causes that, frankly, conventional symptom-only treatment frequently misses.
Hidden causes.
Yeah. Right? Dr. Annabali insists that if you have a busy brain, you must investigate these underlying physical issues, because they can often masquerade perfectly as severe psychiatric disorders.
Okay, give us an example. What kind of physical cause might hide like that?
Well, head trauma is a huge one. People often forget maybe a mild concussion from years ago, a fall, a sports injury, a minor car accident.
Mm-hmm.
But the physical ripple effect on the brain can cause lasting changes. It might lead to chronic irritability or anxiety or impulsivity that gets treated purely as a behavioral problem when its root is actually physical damage.
Oh, that's quite shocking, actually. What about internal physical issues, not from an injury?
Oh, probably the most overlooked area is hormonal imbalances, seriously. Issues with the thyroid gland, which controls metabolism and energy levels, or imbalances in reproductive hormones like estrogen and testosterone, they can perfectly mimic profound psychiatric conditions.
How so?
Well, imagine a woman experiencing a sudden onset of severe, debilitating anxiety. It might get treated with psychiatric meds, right? But the true primary driver could actually be a thyroid dysfunction, or maybe perimenopausal hormonal shifts that are directly impacting brain signaling pathways.
That makes so much sense. And he also mentions other factors like environmental toxins, inflammation.
Yes, toxins, chronic inflammation, even chronic infections like Lyme disease. And he really emphasizes the connection to the gut-brain axis. He makes it clear, if your gut microbiome is unhealthy, it is contributing to anxiety and depression. It's not separate.
It's a whole body system.
It's a whole ecosystem. Yeah. Not just a neat psychiatric diagnosis in a box.
Uh-huh.
And recognizing all this complexity, this interconnectedness, brings us to the solution he proposes, the Annabali method, which is, naturally, holistic. It's built on four foundational pillars. It shows that fixing the dizzy brain needs a comprehensive rebuilding plan, not just popping a pill.
Right, not just a Band-Aid. Okay, let's look at these pillars. Why are they so foundational? Beyond just simple eat well, exercise advice. First up, nutrition.
Yeah, and it's not just vaguely eat healthy. Dr. Annabali emphasizes a brain-healthy diet, rich in specific building blocks, omega-3 fatty acids, for instance.
Why omega-3 specifically?
Because omega-3s are literally what make up your neuron cell membranes. They keep them fluid, flexible, able to communicate effectively. And on the flip side, you need to minimize inflammatory agents, think sugar, processed foods, because chronic inflammation actually slows down brain processing. It can worsen overactivity in areas like those basal ganglia we talked about.
Right. Okay. Pillar two. Exercise.
Mm-hmm.
We all know it's good for us, but what's it doing specifically for the busy brain, according to him?
Think of physical activity as a direct intervention for the brain's traffic system. It boosts blood flow, particularly to areas that might be underactive, like that PFC, the CEO center.
Okay.
It increases crucial neurotransmitters. And maybe most importantly, it stimulates neurogenesis.
The growth of new brain cells.
The actual growth of new brain cells. That offers real, tangible, cellular level hope for improvement and change.
Amazing. And then pillars three and four are more about maintenance, right?
Mm.
Sleep and stress management. Sleep is more than just rest.
Oh, much more. It's when the brain does its essential housekeeping. There's something called the glymphatic system, and during sleep, it actively flushes out metabolic waste products, things like amyloid plaque, which is linked to Alzheimer's.
Wow.
So if your sleep is poor, you are literally leaving cellular garbage accumulating in your brain. That leads directly to fogginess, impaired function.
Makes sense. And stress management, techniques like mindfulness.
That's how you actively retrain those overactive circuits, like the basal ganglia, things like deep breathing, meditation. They directly calm the physical anxiety pathways. It's like targeted practice for your nervous system.
Okay, so if we step back from the details and look at the bigger picture, it seems like there are maybe three core messages, sort of paradigm-shifting ideas, that emerge from Dr. Annibale's work.
Yeah.
The first one you mentioned earlier, mental illness is brain illness.
Yes, and this is such a powerful message of compassion, I think. It dismantles that self-blame, the stigma. It provides physiological proof, look, here it is on the scan, that these issues are concrete, measurable problems. It helps shift the patient's focus from feeling shame or guilt towards proactive physical problem solving.
Right. The second big message, and maybe the most profound in terms of hope, is built around neuroplasticity.
Absolutely. This is woven throughout the book. The brain is not fixed. It's soft-wired, as he puts it. It is constantly changing, physically adapting in response to our choices, our environment, our behaviors.
So every decision matters.
Every single decision you make today. Choosing that walk instead of the couch, choosing protein over sugar. You are actively sculpting your future brain health with each choice. That's incredibly empowering.
It really is. And the third key message seems to be about holistic integration. I love the analogy he uses for this.
The symphony orchestra analogy. It's perfect. Treatment has to be like that. Medication might be, say, the violins. Mm-hmm. Therapy could be the cellos. But you absolutely must have the percussion section of exercise and the woodwinds of nutrition and sleep all playing together in harmony.
Right.
If one section is missing or completely out of tune, the whole performance suffers. Their power is synergistic. You need all the parts working together.
Yeah, that makes total sense. You know, the book is also filled with these really memorable lines, phrases that kind of crystallize this new way of thinking. Let's share a few key ideas. The first one really captures that blend of self-compassion and empowerment. Your busy brain is not your fault, but it is your responsibility to address.
That's fantastic, isn't it? It just lifts the burden of blame, but installs proactive agency. Okay, here's another powerful one, championing his precision approach. We don't guess, we look. A spec scan gives us a roadmap. Mm-hmm. It's a call to move beyond frustrating trial and error with treatments and instead demand objective evidence to guide the process.
Yeah, I like that. And linking back to neuroplasticity, that core message of hope we just talked about, the brain you have today is not the brain you have to live with for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Just hearing that statement alone could be profoundly motivating for someone feeling completely stuck.
It really could. And the great thing is, you can start applying this knowledge immediately just by shifting your internal dialogue, how you perceive yourself.
Yes, so.
Well, instead of thinking, oh, I'm so lazy, I have no motivation, what's wrong with me? You can now think, okay, my PFC probably needs more blood flow and fuel right now. Maybe I should take a quick walk. And I need to make sure my next meal has some good protein and healthy fats. It reframes the problem into something manageable, something physical you can influence.
It also encourages doing a kind of personal brain health audit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Systematically looking at those four pillars, diet, exercise, sleep, stress, and committing to maybe just one small measurable change.
Exactly. Maybe it's cutting out sugary drinks at lunch. Or maybe it's trying just 5 minutes of daily meditation to start calming that basal ganglia. Small steps.
And this knowledge empowers you as a patient too, right? When talking to your doctor.
Hugely. So during your next checkup, instead of just listing symptoms like I'm tired and anxious, you can ask more targeted questions. Like, could my chronic fatigue and anxiety maybe be linked to my thyroid levels? Or maybe my gut health? Given how we know those impact brain function,
I see.
You become an advocate for a more thorough, integrative investigation into your own health, which is exactly what Dr. Annibale is arguing for.
You know, reflecting on all this, what really struck me, maybe even shocked me a little, was realizing just how deep the physical roots of mental suffering can go. Thinking about my own experiences with, say, chronic low-grade anxiety,
Yeah. It
suddenly seems less like an ingrained personality trait and more like potentially a physical pattern in my brain, something observable and maybe adjustable. It completely reframes issues we might have just dismissed as purely emotional or behavioral before.
Yeah. And I think the ultimate takeaway here is this kind of dual sense of profound responsibility, but also profound hope. Mm. We are literally the stewards of the physical organ that generates our thoughts, our feelings, our entire experience of reality.
That's a big thought.
It is. And mental suffering, as Dr. Anabali shows, is often a measurable, concrete physical problem.
Right.
But crucially, because of neuroplasticity, because the brain can change, every single choice we make is an active step, a step towards reclaiming control over the system itself. It's about actively sculpting the future brain you want to live with.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.